Thank you, John. You're not supposed to make a man cry before he comes up to speak, okay? And I don't really know how eloquent I am. I know I can talk. I know God gave me the ability to talk. And we're going to be talking about that. That's the subject of my message this morning, is the words that come out of our mouth. It's kind of funny. Tim said, you know, I'm going to be in the back, so what I want you to do is I want you to, you know, go ahead and finish off the service if you want. Raise the dead and do those kinds of things. And it reminded me of a story. I don't know if any of you were here, or most of you were here, but maybe some of you weren't. Melissa and Jacob and I were having dinner one night at a Mexican restaurant in Swanton, Ohio. And all of a sudden, we see this woman running up to the front of where the hostess sits, and she's going, can somebody get a doctor? There's a doctor in a house. You know, my father has collapsed. He's unresponsive. And so the lady gets on, is there a doctor or EMT, blah, 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 whatever in the house? And you're calling, you know, we have an emergency, and they called 911 and the whole nine yards. And I looked at Melissa, and I said, you know, God is telling me I need to go pray for him. And she says, go. So I did. So when I get there, he's laying on his back. They've got his feet up in a chair. He's laying on his back. They got his feet elevated like that. He is gray. He is pasty. He's not breathing. There is an EMT there, but he doesn't have any equipment. He's off duty. He's got a little thing that they put on his fingers to measure a pulse. There's no pulse. The man's not breathing. There's no pulse. He's unresponsive. So I come and I kneel down, and there's daughters. There's one standing right here. He's here. Daughter standing here, and one kneeling right here. And the one that's kneeling right here looks at me and goes, thank you so much for coming, doctor. And I said, I'm not a doctor. I'm here to pray. And she said, you know, by all means. So I start praying. And I'm, you know, invoking God's presence, his healing presence. And I'm telling Darcy, now watch, his color's going to change. Watch. And then Melissa shows up. And she puts her hand on his foot. And she starts praying in the spirit. And all of a sudden, the color starts to change. All of a sudden, he's getting a pulse in his finger. All of a sudden, the man, yes, I watched God raise a person from the dead because we cared enough to pray. Because we cared enough to let powerful words roll out of our mouth. Kurt, a couple weeks ago, gave a magnificent message. He called it being the mature Christian. You remember that? And he talked about how when we're a mature Christian, we understand that when we're going through battles and struggles, we should rejoice. Because God is going to bring us out on the other side, and he will bring us through that. And we will be brighter stars in heaven for it. So we should rejoice in those times of troubles. I thought it was a brilliant message. And then it got me thinking, okay, so if we're supposed to be mature Christians, aren't we also supposed to be prayerful Christians? And aren't we supposed to be thankful Christians? And aren't we supposed to be faithful Christians? And aren't we supposed to be healing Christians? And aren't we supposed to be evangelist Christians and all of those things? And I thought, our ultimate goal should be to be the complete Christian. And I thought, I had to write a book about that. And I thought, nah, Danny Silk or Bill Johnson or somebody already did, I'm sure. Never read it, but. So I just started thinking, I started looking up some Bible verses, and I thought, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, that is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So we know we're told that we have to be thankful Christians. In everything, give thanks. Right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the verse right before says, pray without ceasing. So we know we're supposed to be prayerful Christians. We know we're supposed to be thankful Christians. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we know we're supposed to be worshiping Christians. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So we know that we're supposed to be faithful Christians. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we know we are supposed to be evangelist Christians. And how many times does the Bible say, fear not? Fear not. Somebody should look that up. How many times does the Bible say, fear not? So we know we're supposed to be fearless Christians. Thankful, prayerful, fearless, evangelist. The list goes on. All right? Well, today, I want to talk about being a responsible Christian. And by that I mean being responsible for what comes out of this pie hole in the middle of our face. Being responsible is understanding that you're not of this world. Remember, you are a heavenly being living a temporary earthly existence. When you keep that in mind, that's going to keep you grounded. That's going to keep you responsible. That's going to keep you from doing things and saying things that could be hurtful or damaging. Yes. 355 times the Bible says, fear not. 65. So one for every day. There you go. One for every day. So fear not every day. I don't think that's an accident, do you? Of course, they probably came up with the 365-day calendar well after the Bible was written, but, you know, the Bible is pretty prophetic. So probably not an accident that it says it 365 times. Fear not. Fear not. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 6 says, our words have the power to destroy and the power to build up. How many of you have been in a situation where somebody says something that just ticked you off and the first thing you did was lash back because it made you feel better? Had a situation like that at work the other day. Two of the guys were trading insults back and forth, and the one guy kind of bragged about how he out-insulted the other guy. And I said, gee, that's always been my goal in life, is to out-insult somebody. Always been what I wanted to do. I wanted to be the best insulter on the planet. How many of you have been in a situation where everyone is happy and being uplifted and being positive, and then you've got to be the one that has to be the pragmatist? You got to be the one that's, oh, I'm just a realist. Really? You're a realist. Is that your reality? Or is that heaven's reality? What does the Bible tell us? Does the Bible tell us you be the Debbie Downer? You bring everybody back down to earth. You make sure that everybody stays grounded there in that human understanding thing that you all got going on. Or does the Bible say, no, you be the uplifter. You be the positive force. You be the encourager. You be the edifier. You be the one that is the positive influence in that situation. Correct? Okay. So the next time that you're in a situation where you feel like you need to be the realist, just shut your mouth. Just don't. Don't. If someone is going through a difficult situation, they're trying really, really hard to get to that other side, to think positive about that other side, to be encouraging about their circumstances and where they're going and trying. Don't be the one that goes, well, you know. No, I don't know. Because I am a heavenly being living a temporary earthly existence. And as a heavenly being, I don't have the earth's understandings. I have God's understanding. And I trust in him. And therefore, I'm going to be positive in him. And I'm going to be encouraging in him. And I'm not going to let the problems of the earth drag me down. And I'm certainly not going to let those things flow through my mouth to drag other people down. Not going to happen. You don't think the words are powerful? You don't think that what we speak can change lives? Look at Facebook. Look at the media. Look at politicians. Look at what's going on, how they can completely sway the entire thought process of a nation, for heaven's sakes. You don't think words are powerful? Listen to Bill Johnson speak sometime. Listen to Danny Silk speak sometime. Go back in your archives and look up Billy Graham and watch some of the speeches that he gave. There's power in every word that we utter. Every word. Believe that. Think on that. Understand that. And let that guide you before something comes out of your lips. Matthew says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. Think about that. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 says, helpful, edifying, meeting needs, and being beneficial. These are our descriptive goals for the words we use. Let me read that to you again. When you go to speak, remember, being helpful, being edifying, meeting needs, being beneficial, those are the descriptive goals for the words that we use. I don't think it says anywhere in the Bible that we need to criticize. That's the goal of the enemy. I don't think it says anywhere in the Bible that we need to hold ourselves as a higher being to criticize those down here and make them feel below us. That's not of the Bible. That's of the other side. I don't know about you, but I probably spend way too much on that other side anyway. I need to just avoid that at all costs. Remember that God spoke the world into existence by his very word. By his very word, he spoke the world into existence. How cool would it be to go, let there be light? Pretty amazing, huh? Remember Jesus? In the boat, lightning, thunder, waves all over the place. Wind, boats rocking, crazy. He's sound asleep. He have any fear? So they wake him up. Master, master. They wake him up and he stands up and he goes, peace, be still. Like water, like ice, you know. Power in our words. Power in what we say. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9 says, evil words destroy one's friends. How many times have you said something and then immediately regretted it? And it caused a rift between you and whoever it was that you were speaking with. Or someone's done that to you. And what do you, you know, when someone says something to you and it cuts you to the core, and believe me, the tongue is as sharp as any knife. The tongue is as powerful as any gun. When something cuts you to the core like that, Don't you tend to draw away from that person, stay away a little while? Proverbs chapter 16, verses 24 says, words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. You notice I keep hammering the same message over and over and over again because you can find it over and over and over again in the Bible. They're telling us, they're giving us a very clear message of measuring what we say, of being thoughtful, engage the brain before we engage the tongue, of being uplifting and edifying and peaceful with our utterings. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere in the Bible. I was amazed when I started to put this together. Proverbs chapter 16, again, verse 24 says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. It's not always easy to find the kind words to say. I mean, I know, boy, when I listen to stuff on the radio or I'm reading it and I hear some of the things that are going on in the world right now and I hear some of the things that people are saying and it just, you just want to... But that's not what we're taught to do. And as hard as it is for me, and I believe me, it's hard. As hard as it is for me to not, I have to. If I profess to be who I say I am. If I am who I say I am, I have to. I have to refrain, and so do you. So do you all. All of us. There's going to come a situation probably later today for every one of us where we're going to have a chance to use the old sharp tongue, and by golly, I'll get you. There's going to be a chance. If it doesn't happen today, it'll happen tomorrow. If not tomorrow, the next day. Certainly, it's going to happen. It happens all the time. And why do you think we do that? Why do you think that we have this thing within us that says, I've got to get mine? By golly, you made me mad, and that I can't let that go. Why do you suppose it is? What's that? Power. Pride. And why do we need power? Because we're fearful that by ourselves we're not enough. We're not enough. So to get that power, to make us feel powerful, to make us feel better, we have to say and do things that we shouldn't be saying and doing. It's all based on fear, folks. It's all based on fear. I fear I'm not enough, and that comment that you made just reaffirmed to me that I'm not enough, so I'm going to fire back at you, and I'm going to show you that I'm enough, and blah, 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 and it goes, and that's what happens. And then it never stops. And then family relationships are broken apart, and then they stop speaking, and then there's no communication, and then it just goes off the rails when it probably never should have to begin with. If one of the combatants gave the kind word, stepped away, I'll pray for you. Whatever it takes. Listen, I love you. I love you. I want what's best for you. So let's be calm. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. But the scariest one, is in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, where Jesus said, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. You don't have to believe me, but you better believe Jesus. Even Jesus is saying, by your words you will be judged. We know that's being responsible. We have that responsibility, if you will, because we are Christians, because we follow Christ, because we believe in his teachings, because we love one another as he commanded us to love one another. We have that responsibility to be positive and be edifying and be uplifting and be loving, and not to let things come out of our mouths that are harmful, because they are powerful. I remember, I talked about this last night. Melissa and I went out with Matt and Lisa Davis last night. And I can remember something that changed my life forever. Forever. I had just gotten done, I think it was either my first or my second message that Tim asked me to speak, ever. First or second one ever. And Lisa Davis walks up to me and she goes, "Love has a name. And it's Mark." Changed my life. I took that in. I indulged it. I try to live it to every extent that I can, in everything I say and everything I do. You can do the same thing. If there's something on your heart that you want to say to someone about how good you think they are, about how powerful you think they are, about how impressed you are with them for something they've done or said, about anything that you have, and you don't, that's wrong too. It's not only wrong to say bad things and harmful things and hurtful things, but it's also wrong to not say the good stuff. If you've got something on your heart, share. Let them know. Julie Usley gives the most loving, amazing, beautiful hugs ever, ever, ever. That woman holds on to you and she goes right through you. God is, she envelops you. And I've told her that before. She's amazing. We just, if you've got something to say to somebody, let it go. Let them hear it. Let them know how you feel, because it's going to change them. It's going to make them feel wonderful. It's going to make them feel powerful. It's going to make them feel good. And Lord knows in today's world, we need a whole lot of we want to feel good, don't we? There's enough going on to make us feel rotten. So the more that we can do that, the better we're going to make it. The better we're going to make each other, the better we're going to make this planet, the better we're going to do this on earth as it is in heaven. That's the whole purpose behind our existence here in this church. Getting heaven into people while they're still here. Not just getting them to heaven when they die, but getting heaven into people while they're still here. You, by doing the edifying and the building up and the praising and the positive influence, you're getting heaven into people. You're doing what we want so badly to do. So, yeah, is there, and I see it every day on Facebook about, you know, there's too many churches that are being way too positive and they need to start talking about hellfire and damnation. And we probably do, because, you know, you are saved by the blood of Christ. But if you don't repent and you keep doing the same stuff over and over again, you ain't getting in. So there is that. But there's also the opposite side of the coin. Stop beating people over the head. Be encouraging. Be positive. How many of you ever been a teacher or a coach or anything like that? Yeah. Yeah. Right. How many of you been a parent? And what works more? You rotten kid. How many times have I told you? What works more? Does that work better? Or does, you know what? You messed up. We'll do better next time. Here's a consequence for that. Because there's a consequence for bad behavior. But I still love you. I still believe in you. I still think you're awesome. And I think you're going to do amazing things. Amazing things. And guess what happens? They don't run upstairs, you know, making obscene gestures at you while because they're mad at you. They go upstairs to whatever punishment you've doled out and they go, yeah, I did mess up, but my gosh, Mom loves me. That woman just loves me. That dad just loves me. And they feel loved and they feel appreciated and they feel wanted and they feel a part of you. And they become wonderful people because of it, because that's what they were brought up with. And we see way too much of the other stuff. All over the world, we see way too much of the other stuff. So, I don't know how eloquent I was today, John. But I hope you got the message. We have in so many instances and so much time, we have the situations where, you know, we have to say the words that bring the people down to earth. Why? Why not say the words that bring people to heaven? Why not say the people that say the words that lift them up, that give them hope? Hope, not doubt. Confidence, not fear. Love, not hate. Comfort, not hurt. Remember, Jesus said you're going to be judged by every word that leaves your mouth. So the next time you want to fire something off, think about him. I remember watching an interview of Billy Graham once. And the interviewer asked him, what's the one thing that you fear the most on this planet? And he said, disparaging another human being, calling them a name, lashing out at them, doing anything of that nature, because that human being, just like me, is created in God's image and likeness. And how dare I criticize or call a name to or do something verbally to hurt them when they're made in God's image and likeness, just like me. And that was profound to me for him to say that. And then, of course, he went on to say, and then falling short of the favor of God was his biggest fear. But I'm telling you today, put the fear aside. Put the negativity aside. Put the anger aside. Put the sharp tongue aside. And let's be encouraging. And let's be edifying. And let's be the builders that build each other up. And remember to keep that with you always. Do not catch yourself. If you know it's going to fire out, close your mouth. Or stop your fingers from doing whatever this is. Yeah. Just don't. Let's all stand up. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the power of our words, the power to encourage, the power to uplift, the power to edify, the power to teach, the power to preach, the power to evangelize, the power to heal, the power to praise. We just ask that you keep us ever mindful of the power of our words and that you encourage us and give us the strength and the humility and the love and the faith to say those things that need to be said and to keep from saying those things that certainly do not need to be said. And as always, as we go forth, just be with us all week. Fill us with your presence and the fruits of the Holy Spirit so that we can shine a light on all those around us. And let us all be an angel to somebody today. I pray. In Jesus' holy name, and all God's people said, amen. All right.